Over the past few months, I have continually sought the Lord for wisdom, insight, hope, and peace, but mostly for comfort. And as time wore on, I kept finding myself back at the exact same place in the Bible, looking for comfort. I spent more time looking and thinking about Psalm 23 than any time in my life. I've done a couple of devotionals on just individual verses in the Psalm over these past months. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at the entire Psalm and hopefully and be able to impart some comfort to those who are watching. I believe that the 23rd Psalm has some of the most comforting words ever written for the child of God. David wrote these words 3,000 years ago, and they have given comfort to millions and millions of Christians all through history, throughout the whole world. So I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. It's amazing what's there. The Lord is my shepherd. The word Lord is the word Yahweh. So whenever Jews or Hebrews would quote this, they never said Yahweh. They wouldn't speak the word. So they said Adonai, because they had such deep reverence and respect for Yahweh. Yahweh shows up in Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush, and he tells Moses, "Tell them that I am has sent you," which is Yahweh. It's the personal covenant-keeping name of God. Many Hebrew rabbis said the thoughts about the term Yahweh are so deep and so overwhelming that they're too deep for us to even begin to understand. But I think thinking of Yahweh expands the mind, it humbles your heart, and it strengthens your soul. He is Yahweh, the self-existent one. All life in the universe is derived from somewhere else, but not his. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:17, he said, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone is wise, be honor, glory, forever and ever. Amen." That's Yahweh. He says, the Lord is, not was, is, because Yahweh always is. He never was and never will be. He always is. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. This awe-inspiring, overwhelming creator of all things is my and your shepherd. What a thought. That implies, by the way, that we're sheep. And you hear that over and over again in the entire Word of God. We're sheep. The word sheep's used 698 times in the Bible. Sheep. That's what we are. And there are innumerable sheep in the Bible. The Jews seized 650,000 sheep from the Midianites. That's a lot of sheep. Solomon, at one sacrifice, offered 120,000 sheep. In fact, Josephus says that the average is about 300 sheep a year were killed in Jerusalem. 300,000 sheep. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is the shepherd. He didn't even say what Jesus said, the Lord is a good shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. We can all say that. There are 28 personal pronouns in these six verses. It's me and you. That's what he's talking about. It's me and you, Lord. He uses these over and over again. What's interesting is the word in Hebrew for friend is rooted in the Hebrew word for shepherd. That's what the shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus talks about true shepherds and false shepherds. You see, sheep have a desperate need for shepherds. For sheep, everything has to be right to be right. Everything. There can't be any predators about. There can't be any tension at all in the flock. There can't be any bugs in the air. They can't have any hunger in their belly. Everything has to be just so for sheep to be content. Unfortunately, sheep can't find safe pasture. They can't spray insecticide. They can't deal with their frictions. They can't find food for themselves. They need help. They need a shepherd to lead them. And without a shepherd, neither can we. That's why these words are so poignant. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd, the conclusion is, I shall not want. I will not lack peace because he makes me lie down in green pastures. I will not lack peace. How many of us do, though? You see, if you're in turmoil right now and you don't have any peace, I'm telling you, you're not relating to the Lord as your shepherd at all. That's not really happening. I will not lack provision. He leads me beside still waters. I will not lack hope or encouragement. This is the psalm going through it. Why? He restores my soul. I will not lack guidance. Why? For he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I will not lack deliverance in tough times, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack companionship, for you are with me. I will not lack protection. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I will not lack help and healing in all the events of life because you anoint my head with oil. I will not lack the abundant life because my cup overflows. I will not lack anything, for goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I will not lack an eternal heavenly home, for I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what this psalm is telling you. You will lack nothing because the Lord is your shepherd. There's nothing that I lack. All of our external needs are met. Food, clothing, provision, necessities, all met. All of our eternal needs are met. Salvation, heavenly home, all met. All of our internal needs to be loved, to have meaning, to purpose and peace in our lives, all met. Because the Lord is my shepherd. It's an amazingly comforting psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. A picture of provision. I don't have to do any of this. Just stay close to the shepherd. In John 10, Jesus said, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He said, and will go in and out, and he'll find pasture. Next verse, I've come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. Because the Lord's my shepherd. Don't miss this. He makes me lie down on green pastures. By the way, sheep don't ever eat lying down, ever, unless they're sick. Sheep eat on their fours. He said, no, not this, not us, not with this guy, not with the Lord as our shepherd. We lie down in green pastures. Now, it's rare for sheep, but here's what happens. If the shepherd can provide a good enough pasture in the morning, the sheep will overeat all that they possibly can. And just like cows, when after lunch, when it gets hot, they go into the shade, they lay down and they chew the cud. They re-chew what the Lord's provided for them. That's why they're lying in the pasture. They had such an abundance that they're able now to chew the cud. What a great picture that is. To me, it's a picture of what the Word of God means to me. You read the Word of God and you study the Word of God. But more importantly than that, you meditate on the Word of God. In other words, you chew the cud. In the shade, in the green pasture, I can lay down and just let the Word of God continually flow through me. He said, that's what happens with sheep. What a picture of peace this is. You see, the shepherd's mantra to you and I is about every single thing in your life. I got this. I got it. I'm your shepherd. I got this. Did you believe that, though? You see, do you really believe that? Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How's this going to work? What is going to happen? He says, I got this. You see, I got this. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want. What would I want? Oh, the economy sagging. Well, I heard my shepherd say to me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be added to you. That's the shepherd. What do you want? You see, the Lord is my shepherd. He not only says he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep hate fast-moving water. They won't drink from it. It scares them. So they like it when it's quiet, when it's still, as the King James says. What a picture that is of contentment. Think of the image. Sheep are laying in the afternoon in the pasture. They never lay. They're re-chewing the cud. And there's a perfect spring of water for them to get a drink when they want. The provision, the peace, the contentment of God, all because of the shepherd. He did all the work. And he said, I'll do it all for you. It says then, he restores my soul. Wow, that's a wonderful thing because our souls often need restoring, don't they? The reason is, sheep need to be restored because there are things called cast, C-A-S-T, sheep. They're cast sheep. What's that mean? They fell down and they can't get up. Especially in the summertime when sheep have a lot of wool, if they fall down on their side and roll to their back, they can't get up. They're called cast down. By the way, we still have that in our language. Why are you cast down? That's from sheep. That's cast down as a way they define sheep. And he says, I can't get up. There's nothing I can do. He says, no. He says, notice, he restores it, my soul. Psalm 40, I'll come back to this, but look at Psalm 40 with me for just a moment, verses 1 and 3. 1 through 3. David writing again. He's the shepherd, remember that. This guy knows what he's talking about when it comes to shepherd and sheep. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. You ever do that? I have. In this analogy, it sounds like this. Meh, meh. I've fallen. I can't get up. I can't. He said, that's okay. He said, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footstep firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and I would trust in the Lord. He just rolled me over, picked me up, and set me on the rock. I got you. He restores our soul. Back to the psalm. He says after that, he said, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's the reputation of the shepherd. How do you know a good shepherd from a bad shepherd? Where he takes his flock to feed, where they get water. He has to know. If he doesn't, the sheep are in deep trouble. An expert shepherd knows this. See, David is talking about something in this psalm that many of us don't know anything about. He's talking about a full cycle of a year for a shepherd. The shepherd starts out in the winter and usually around Bethlehem. Remember, the sheep are in Bethlehem because of winter around Christmas time. We talk about that. And then they start moving and they stay in southern Judah through the early spring because there's a lot of good pasture. Then it starts wearing out. And so they moved to Samaria and Galilee through the early summer months. And then when summer really hits, they have to move from there up into the elevation. They have to get into the high country. All the way past Hebron, they have to go up and feed them in the high country in new pastures. And then when the summer ends and the fall comes, they start the migration back down and end up back in Bethlehem. That's what David's talking about here. He's talking about that whole migration. The shepherd has to be the expert. You know, God knows this. Think of this. How did God, think of men like Abraham, Moses, and David. They were shepherds. These are three of the greatest names in the Word of God. And even Moses, trained as an Egyptian prince, God says, you're not ready to lead. If you want to learn how to lead, tend the flocks in Midian for 40 years. Now you'll know how to lead. That's why David was such a great leader, because he was such a great shepherd. A shepherd has to have foresight, the ability to anticipate the weather patterns and the cycle of the seasons. A shepherd has to have advanced planning, knowing the routes and destinations and how to access them. A shepherd has to have geographical skills. He has to have a sense of direction, a knowledge of the terrain, an awareness of the dangerous areas, and a need for the sources of water. A shepherd has to have stamina to withstand the strain of responsibility and the loneliness and solitude of the job and the dangers in the wilderness. A shepherd has to have quality control. Not all pastures are equally desirable. A shepherd had to monitor, maintain, and improve the quality of their annual pasturing grounds. A shepherd has to have hard work. Pastures don't manage themselves. They have to be tended. Rocks have to be removed. Gopher holes filled. Underground and undergrowth cleared. A shepherd has to have motivation. It's not easy to get frightened sheep to follow you through a wild canyon or a dark valley. And a shepherd has to have emergency medical skills to handle all the injuries and illnesses of the sheep. That's what a shepherd has to have. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not one. It's all through the Bible, just said in different ways. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what? He'll direct your path. Why? I'm the shepherd. Stop that. Don't lean on your own understanding. Listen to my voice. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. But I often wonder, in times like this, do we hear it or not? He said, the Lord directs the steps of the godly in Psalm 37. He delights in every detail of their lives. Isaiah 48, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the paths that you should follow. Psalm 32, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. That's our shepherd. Psalm 48, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. In Isaiah 58, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength when you need it. God says, that's why I do that. Why does he do all that? Because he's our shepherd. It's an amazing thing. Now, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. You know what that implies, because he uses the term valley of death? All valleys. This applies to every valley. The last valley, the most difficult to us, the scariest for us, is the valley of the shadow of death. That's the scary one. But he says all of us go through valleys all the time. In fact, many of us in our country right now are in a valley. He goes, yeah, this applies in every sense. The pandemic, the economy, broken relationships, it's always the valley. Key word there, even though I walk, and the next word, through. Got to go through it. Doesn't take you around. Now remember, when they're going from the lower plain up to the mountain areas for the pasture, understand something about this. They've got to go through these wadis or these valleys. It is loaded with predators. And the sheep are an easy target. I mean, you get something, I read that you get something like a pack of wolves and they hit sheep, they'll kill innumerable sheep. And they'll only eat their internal organs and leave them. They'd rather eat the best part of the sheep and kill a bunch of them than to kill one sheep and eat all of it. Sheep are really timid and they're fearful. So for them, it is a valley of the shadow of death. He goes, but I'm not afraid. Why? Shepherd's with me. Remember in 1 Samuel 17? A young teenage boy, David's talking to Saul about Goliath. And he said, I'm not afraid. He said, what do you mean you're not afraid? He said, the lion and the bear tried to get to my sheep. I killed them. If I can kill this lion and that bear, I can kill this uncircumcised Philistine. You see, that's the idea. This is a dangerous part, this last part up to the high plateau. Psalm 46, first three verses, apply to this. Listen as I read. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountain quake at its swelling pride. No matter how bad it gets, I'm not afraid. That's what he says. Notice what that little psalm says. God is a help. Oh, he's more than that. He's a very present help. He's a help. He's a present help. He's a very present help. He's a very present help in trouble. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Are you afraid? You see, so many of us are afraid. One of the most sobering things about the whole pandemic and everything around it is that you hear person after person, expert after expert saying one of the big problems that's emerging in America right now is the mental health of the people. Their mental health is suffering. Why? They're afraid. They're afraid. And what do they have? Well, I'm so afraid. I need more drugs. I need more liquor. You see, I got to have it. That's the only way you can cope. Not if you really understand that the Lord is your shepherd. I don't need liquor or drugs to cope. That's what he is telling me. I don't have to worry about this at all. Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me, he'll never die. That's what the shepherd told me. That's why it says in the psalm, back to the Psalm 23, it says, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me illustrate this. Let's just say that I feel pretty indestructible, and so I'm going to stand on a railroad track, and a big locomotive's coming. And I stand right in the middle of the track and say, I just want to show you how indestructible I am. Okay, and then a locomotive comes. What's the outcome? Well, you know, right? Okay. Now, let's say it this way, though. I say, I want to show you something. Here comes a locomotive. The sun is over in the east. All right? I stand on the western side of the track. The train will be between me and the sun. Here comes the locomotive's shadow. Now, tell me how the shadow is going to hurt me. Can a shadow hurt anybody? You can't. Here comes the shadow. See, when I die, I'm not standing in front of the locomotive. I'm standing in the shadow. But we act as though, no, the locomotive, we got to be in front of the locomotive. Jesus said, you're never going to die. That's never going to happen. You're in the shadow. And then he says, for you are with me. This is really comforting. One of the saddest stories about COVID-19 in our country are the people who end up in intensive care and respirators. And you hear this all the time. You know what's so sad about this? They have to die alone. They have to die alone. Their family can't be there. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. You will never die alone. That is not true. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are right here. And no matter what valley you're going through, how dark the time seemed to you, relationally, married, all the other stuff, he goes, I'm right here. You don't have to be afraid of this. I'm the shepherd. By the way, the New Testament tells us something here. The reason I don't have to face death, and neither do you, if you know the Lord, is because he died for me. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Thank God he did. It makes all the difference in the world. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff. What's that mean? It means this. I am reassured that my shepherd's not ill-prepared. He has exactly what he needs. He has a staff and he has a rod. And that's all I need. The staff is to get me out of trouble. Sheep can get in trouble all the time. They get all kinds of, they wander off, they forget where the flock is. They do all kinds of terrible things, just like us. He says, yeah, and I'll come and get you with a staff. And I'll curl it and I'll pull it all your neck. You get caught in some brush, I'll pull you out. If I have to, I'll put you on my shoulders. I'll carry you back to the flock. The rod is different. It's more like a club. Somebody comes and really wants to mess with you. Somebody comes and wants to do you harm. He says, I'll take care of them. I have the equipment to take care of them. The staff deals with our problems on the inside, and the rod deals with the problems on the outside. And then he says in verse 5, a passage that I think is often misunderstood, and I know I misunderstood it for years. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. What ends up happening to a lot of us is we make a terrible mistake here, I believe, and we think the imagery of the whole thing just changed. David is talking about taking his sheep from Bethlehem all the way up to the high country and then all the way back. That's what the psalm's about. It's a shepherd. And all of a sudden, we have a table and we're in a banquet room. But I don't think that's what this means at all. You see, well, I think what this really means is this. The Hebrews called it tableland. Tableland was an elevated plateau in the mountains used for summer grazing. It was extraordinarily valuable. In other words, the clear land that high up for my sheep, shepherds and their fathers and forefathers would spend decades on it. They did everything. They had to clear all the land. Anywhere it was bare, they sowed seed so that they'd have it. They took out all the rocks. They took out all the poisonous plants. They did everything they could to make these tableland, high plateau pastures for their sheep. And that's what I believe David is clearly talking about here. And by the way, in those pastures is where you almost always find in the high country where the bears and wolves and that were, where the real enemies are. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then he says, you have anointed my head with oil. It's a great image. The word anointed is not as spectacular a word as you might think here. If I was going to translate the Hebrew word anointed, I would say this. Tend. T-E-N-D. Tend. You tend my head with oil. Now, it can be anoint, but we get a little bit too mystical when we think about this. He said, you tend. And by the way, do you tend sheep? Is that a common term? Oh, I think so. Remember after Peter denied Jesus 3 times? Jesus went to him and said, do you love me, Peter? Right? Peter said, yes, Lord. He said, feed the sheep. Shepherd again. Then he said, well, do you love me, Peter? Oh, yes, Lord. Tend the sheep. Anoint the sheep. You see, that was such an amazing thing because sheep had all kinds of different problems. The worst was the insects, but they scratched themselves and cut themselves a lot with their heads. They put their heads in places it should never go. So what would a shepherd do? He'd anoint it with oil to soothe it. Max Lucado writes this. He said, bugs bug people. He said, but they kill sheep. He said, flies, mosquitoes, and gnats can turn a summer into a time of torment for livestock. Consider nose flies, for example. If they succeed in depositing their eggs in the membrane of the sheep's nose, the eggs become worm-like larvae, which drive the sheep insane. One shepherd explains, for relief from this agonizing annoyance, sheep will deliberately beat their heads against trees, rocks, and posts or brush. In extreme cases of intense infestation, the sheep may even kill itself in a frenzied endeavor to gain respite from the aggravation. When a swarm of nose flies appear, sheep panic. They run, they hide, they toss their heads up and down for hours. They forget to eat. They're not able to sleep. Ewes stop milking and lambs stop growing. The entire flock can be disrupted, even destroyed in the presence of a few flies. For this reason, the shepherd anoints the sheep. He covers their heads with an oil-like repellent. The fragrant keeps the insects at bay and the flock at peace. That's what he means. He said, no matter how bad you think it gets, I have what I need to anoint you, to tend you. I can soothe you. That's one of the reasons the Spirit of God has been given to us. We are all anointed with the Spirit of God for this exact type of situation. Psalm 100 says, he made us, we belong to him, we are his people, the sheep that he tends. That's what he does. Notice then, he says, my cup overflows. See, and we're thinking drinking cup, overflowing my cup. Now, I'm not going to get too mystical here, but think about it. Sheep don't drink out of cups. Okay, that's not what he said. We do, but sheep don't. They drink out of watering troughs and wells. And that was a big thing. Take something like Jacob's well. When you go to it originally in the Old Testament, they dig out the well. Then they put a capstone on it. And the water comes right up to the capstone and eases out just a little bit, and they pull the capstone off. And then it just overflows. When you read the story of Jacob, what's called Jacob's well, there were three flocks of sheep already there getting water. That's how abundant the water was. Jesus shows up with the Samaritan woman in John 4 at the same well. And so he says, you take the lid off of it and it overflows. Those wells were a lot of work for the shepherd, but they're just a joy for the sheep, just like us. He's already done that. My cup overflows. Then he says in verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. King James, I like better. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Many commentators, like Morgan, were the first to do it. And he said, and I love this, these are the two sheepdogs that follow you. The shepherd led the flock. They followed him. Behind the flock, the sheepdogs. They protected the sheep from the rear. You see, that's what they did. He said, if you had good sheepdogs, you had real protection. And both Morgan and Lucado talk about the idea that that's our two sheepdogs. The two sheepdogs behind you and me is goodness and mercy. He said, they're right behind us. They protect us. A celestial escort for God's flock. That's what we're talking about. Always? Well, look what it says. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Some of the days. A few of the days. Most of the days. Now he said, look back. Goodness and mercy are behind you every single time. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, there's not one thing in life that's not covered in this six verses of this little psalm. Every possible thing that can, scenario that can happen, every need you could ever have. The Lord says, I've got it. You're my sheep. I'm the shepherd. And he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, Lucado says this. Remember this, God never said that the journey would be easy, but he did say the arrival would be worthwhile. I love that. He said he may not do what you want, but he will do what is right and best. He said he's the shepherd, a forward motion. Trust him. He will get you home. and the trials of the trip will be lost in the joys of the feast yet to come. By the way, that's why Paul called all the suffering of his life momentary light afflictions. He said, I know what's coming. It gives me a perspective on everything. And so we're full circle, completely full circle now. We're all the way back to the Father's house. And he says, we're going to be there forever. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, reinforced that for me and for you. Jesus said this in John 14. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and I'll receive you to myself. That where I am, there you will be also. He said, what a shepherd. That's what he offers us. This is overwhelming comfort for you and for me. I got more from these six verses than almost anywhere in the Word of God to comfort myself. Think about it from this point of view. Beside me, my shepherd. Beneath me, green pastures. In front of me, still waters. Ahead of me, righteous paths. Within me, restored spirits. Against me, my enemies. For me, his rod and staff. Around me, the tableland. Upon me, anointing oil. Above me, overflowing blessings. Behind me, goodness and mercy. Before me, my Father's house. That's what the psalm says. I invite you, make this your psalm. Boy, once you understand it, go to it, read it for the comfort. Because once you make it your psalm, you know what you start doing immediately? Following your shepherd. We're probably in a valley right now, but it's okay. All because the Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray. Father, these truths, 3,000 years your people have read these verses. You would gain so much comfort from them. But Father, if we can't gain comfort from them, it won't help us. We'll become like the sheep, panicked, full of fear, anxiety, worry. And yet here, Yahweh is our shepherd. He has made every provision that we could possibly need. All we have to do is hear his voice and follow him. Father, I am amazed that there are so many despairing voices that we hear every day through media, all saying different things. And for a child of God, these voices should be irrelevant. What does the shepherd say? What does my Savior say? What does my God say? Father, if we let you become the final word in our lives, we become filled with peace and joy and hope. And we can consider it all joy that we go through various trials. We pray this for our good and for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.